Glory to God.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series called Unbreakable Strength Under Pressure. And isn't it good news that we can have strength under pressure? Amen? We don't have to cave in. We don't have to break under pressure. Can we break under pressure? Yes. We're not telling you that it's impossible to break. We're telling you that we can be unbreakable under pressure. Amen? There is a way to have strength under pressure. We can break, yes, but there is a way not to break. There is a way to have strength. Amen? I think too many people have lost strength. Too many people have been broken. But you know what the good news is? They don't have to be stuck. You might be finding yourself, I have broken, I have lost strength. The good news is that you don't have to be stuck there. Amen? We do not have to be stuck without strength. We don't have to be stuck. Amen? Well, I'm just stuck on that side of the tracks. I just can't get on this side of the tracks. The tracks are not the issue. Amen? We can be unbreakable and have strength under pressure. We talked about newness of life and taking new territory doesn't happen by wishing or by accident, but it requires three parts. Number one, it requires God. Number two, it requires His direction. Number three, it requires action. And so we've been talking about an action here in regards to experiencing and enjoying strength under pressure. Psalm 118, verses 24 and 21 says this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that day that he's been talking about is the day of salvation, the day of salvation. And the word salvation, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, means a preservation, deliverance, safety, wholeness, healing, health, prosperity, victory, and it means the word avenge. Jesus is our avenger. He is protecting and taking care of us. Amen? He is good. Glory to God. And so this is the day the Lord has made. So the spirit of faith praises and rejoices God. And our theme scripture is Nehemiah 8:10. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So last week we talked about, I guess last week was our third week, and so there's more to it over the first 3 weeks. But last week we talked about rejoicing, and we saw in Psalm 119, verses 162, that he said, I rejoice in the Lord as if I found the great treasure. You know, so how would we rejoice if we all of a sudden found $1 million, found $2 million? You know, I mean, it's this great treasure. He said, I rejoice in you, Lord, as one who found a great treasure. So our rejoicing in God is because he has done so much wonderful and amazing stuff for us. We rejoice in him. Rejoicing is one way to exercise our authority. We found out rejoicing creates a desired result. Rejoicing causes us to reap a desired result. In other words, rejoicing is a reaping tool, or it's a harvesting tool. Rejoicing is a harvesting tool in our lives. And because rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith in what God has said he already has done for us in Christ, so we get to rejoice. We must believe and trust that the words we are speaking and commanding and we are telling the mountain is coming to pass, being built and assembled, and we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and saying. That is Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. The word say is used three times, and the word believe is used once. And the Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the word say, the saying part, as the believing part, because my children are believers. So primarily, they're not missing it in the believing part, they're missing it in the saying part. So you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part. So Mark 11:23 again is, we must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass. It's being built and assembled, and we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and telling. That's Mark 11:23. Those three words say. All right, so rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith. What does that mean?
It means we are speaking, that means as we speak and declare God's word, his promises for our life, we choose to get excited, getting our whole being involved, rejoicing. Rejoicing is not something that can't be seen. Rejoicing is something that gets our whole being involved, spirit, soul, and body. Rejoicing. Amen? And there's some people that might be in a wheelchair. There might be some people that are riding their scooter. And so their mobility may be limited. And so their ability, because the word rejoice means to jump up and down and spin around. I mean, so their ability to do that might be hindered. But I said, the least we can do is begin to tap a foot, begin to wiggle, begin to do something more. Amen? Whatever we can do, do that. Do that to the most. Why? Because we're excited about what God has done. We're excited about what he is doing. And so we rejoice. We get involved. We allow our whole being, spirit, soul, and body to be involved. So, as we shout and as we laugh and as we rejoice, God is working on our behalf. We saw closing last week, Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3. It says, rejoicing brings supernatural increase and breakthrough in our lives. Hallelujah. Rejoicing brings supernatural increase and breakthrough in our lives. So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll pick up here today. We're going to finish this series and start a new one next week for our launch event. Hebrews 13, verses 15. New King James says this, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we're going to be talking about this morning. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We're going to be talking about praise. So we'll finish off this series talking about praise. And so one of the key words that in regards to praise in this verse is continually. Continually. Right? So to let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise means that we actually have a choice. Right? Because we're not going to feel like it continually, but we get to continually. Amen? We get to choose to. Whether we feel like it or whether we don't, we just choose. Whew, glory to God. I'm going to praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Because you're good. Not because of the situation or circumstance that we might find ourselves in that we don't like, but we choose to rejoice because he's good. Amen. His mercy endures forever because he's filled the book with great and precious promises to us. The precious blood of Jesus was spilt to redeem us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Oh, hallelujah. He's bought and purchased good things for us. The price has already been paid. And so we set our eyes on what he's already done, and not necessarily what we're going through. And we find out that if we rejoice, it brings supernatural increase and breakthrough in our life. So our rejoicing in God can change our situation and circumstance. We might find ourselves in a situation and circumstance that we don't enjoy, we don't like, it might have been too long, but we're not stuck there. The good news is we're not stuck there. Rejoicing will help get us out. Amen? And so praise, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the fruit of our lips is words, right? Words. So we can sing the words, right? Or we can speak the words. Either way, it's words. It's the fruit of our lips, right? Singing or just speaking, declaring, decreeing, saying, right? So let's go ahead and turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. The book of Haggai. And Haggai is stuck right between the two Z's, Zephaniah and Zechariah. Haggai is right between the two Z's. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read out of the King James. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 8, says this. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. See, their assignment was to go back to Jerusalem and to build the walls, and then they were going to build the temple, the house of God. And they got distracted because of pressure and so on and so forth and time. And so they began investing time and money in building their own houses and kind of getting things set up for themselves. And then the prophet Haggai, the Lord talked to him, and he went before the people and said, you know, how this is not the way it's been set up. He says, is it time for you to focus all your attention and invest all your time and money in your house, and the house of God is left in ruins and depopulated and unfinished? God says, listen, it's important you understand. He said, consider your ways. Verse 5, now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough to... you drink and are not filled with drink. You're clothed, but you're not warm. And you earn wages and put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord, do what? Consider your ways. And so he said, I want you to consider and think about your ways. If you're putting yourself first and you've forgotten about the house of God, consider your ways, and I like the Amplified. The Amplified says, consider your ways and how you fared. In other words, the question is, so how has that been working for you? You know, that's kind of like what God's been saying. Okay, you've been focusing on yourself. How's that been working out for you? Right? I mean, we should focus on ourselves, but not first. Not first. He said, consider your ways and how you've fared. So verse 8, he says, now go up to the mountain and bring wood. Go get some wood and build the house. Build the house of God. Build the temple. And he said, you do this, you build the house. And God said, I will take pleasure in it, right? So God will be pleased. And he said, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. He said, I will be glorified and able to manifest my glory. See, up until this point, the temple had been destroyed, and so the glory of God had really been non-existent. And as you read through this chapter, you find out when they built the temple, that the glory of God came back again once they began doing work. I don't have time to get into this. It's a wonderful chapter. But this is my point right here. He says, I want you to go to the mountain, get some wood, and I want you to build the house. Building the house Build a habitation for God. Amen? Build a habitation for God. That's what the temple was about. You know, see now we're the temple. Right? New covenant, now we're the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he inhabits us. He lives in us as born-again believers. But back then, he was housed in the temple. He was housed in that building. And so the manifestation of his glory was because of and in that place. So he said, I want you to build God a habitation. Build him a habitation. So he says, build me a habitation. Why? So he says, so I can be pleased and glorify and manifest my glory, which is his power, his presence, and his goodness. I want to manifest my power, my presence, and my goodness in your midst, in your presence. But I'm being hindered from doing that because you're also so focused on yourself. So remember, and part of it was because there was just persecution. And so they kind of withdrew. But now the prophet Haggai is coming and saying, It's time to, you know, you kind of get stuck. You kind of get in a direction, you kind of back up, and then you get stuck, and you get comfortable. So the Haggai is letting them know it's time to get uncomfortable. Amen. It's time to get unstuck. Remember God. Remember His temple. Remember, build Him a habitation. Why? So we can experience His power, His presence, and His goodness, the manifestation of God. And so I like this phrase, build Him a habitation. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Says this, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. So they have just come through the sea. The song they sang is, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father God, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. He said, I will prepare Him a habitation. I will prepare Him a habitation. That's the word praise. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. But the King James takes that Hebrew word and lets us know that Hebrew word is, I will prepare Him a habitation. How do we prepare Him a habitation? God telling the people, the children of Israel, in Haggai's time, it's time to build me a habitation. Build the house. Build me a habitation. Here, He said, build me a habitation. How is that done? How is that done? Well, the Hebrew word is navah. Prepare a habitation, navah. And navah means, it's the word praise. It means to rest as at home. See, we're building Him a habitation. Why? So He can rest like He's at home. What does that mean? He's comfortable. We want to prepare a place where God is comfortable. Not aggravated. Not, you know, trying to think, how can I just get out of here fast? You know, but we want Him to be comfortable. A place where He's comfortable. To rest as at home. To beautify. To celebrate with praise. Navah. Building Him a habitation. How do we do that? By celebrating Him with praise. By praise. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about praise. And my first point is to prepare Him a habitation. Prepare Him a habitation. How do we prepare Him a habitation? Praise. Praise. Because if we look at Psalm 22, verse 3, right? We know this, Psalm 22, verse 3. I'll not be able to quote it, but once I start reading it, you'll get it. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Psalm 22, verse 3 says this, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? Isn't that good? God inhabits the praises of His people. How do we build Him a habitation? Well, we praise Him. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. The word inhabits, the Hebrew word translated inhabits, also can be translated to sit or settle down, to cause to settle, to make to inhabit, to tarry, to abide, or to bring again to a place. We want to continually be inviting Him. See, the interesting thing is He lives on the inside of us. But just because He lives on the inside of us doesn't mean we're always experiencing His manifestation of His power, His presence, His goodness. He's living on the inside of us. And I always use the example like driving our car, and we're driving our car, and we're driving, and you know, God's in the front seat, and He's leading and guiding and directing us. And we say, you know what, you're talking too much, and you're directing too much, you just go sit in the back. Well, He's still in the car, but He's in the back. And then all of a sudden, we're looking in the rearview mirror, and He's still doing the same thing. It's like, I don't like backseat driving. So, I mean, God, you're going to have to just kind of, you know, quit telling me what to do, or I'm going to put you in the trunk. Still in the car, You know, finally, we're just tired of God instructing, talking. God, you're in the trunk. He's in the trunk. He's in the trunk, but he's still in the car. But he's not really having that much influence. Amen? We can have him in our lives, but there's not a whole lot of influence, not a whole lot going on. Almighty God living on the inside of us, and not a whole lot. We're not taking advantage of his love and his goodness and his wisdom and his direction and his help. The Spirit of the living God we got in the trunk. We don't want him in the trunk. Amen. We want him up front, leading and guiding and directing. Right or left? Right or left? Left? Left. We're going left. Amen? Because he'll get us to where he wants us to go. We're not having to try to figure it out. He's definitely there to help us. Glory to God. And so, God inhabits the praises of his people. The word inhabit, there we go. Sit or settle down, cause to settle, make to inhabit, to tarry, to abide, to bring again to a place. We want to continually bring him and keep him in the front seat. Amen. Bring him to a place where his power, his presence, his goodness is in manifestation and demonstration in our lives. Protection and safety and healing and health and wholeness and provision and supply. Amen. Just everything about him for us. Bring him again to this place. To remain, to return, and seat. Our praise creates a seat for him to sit and settle in. Our praise creates a seat for him to sit and settle in. Amen? To cause him to abide, to hang out with us. Our praise does that for him. God inhabits. That's what inhabits means. He inhabits the praises. Now what kind of praises? Because there's a number of words translated praise in the Hebrew. So what kind of praises does he inhabit? Based on this scripture, what kind of praise does he inhabit? This word praises in the Hebrew is the word tehillah. Tehillah. And it means laudation. That means nothing to me. So I had to look that up. Laudation means praising. It means eulogy, right? And it means commendation. It's like, oh, that kind of makes sense to me. You know, what do you do at a eulogy? The eulogy is you say nice words about someone. A letter of recommendation is what? It's you're singing the praises of so-and-so about, you know, their talents, their abilities, their accomplishments, and so on and so forth. So laudation means to praise, eulogy, and commendation. So the word tehillah is the word laudation, and it's from the root word. So the word, this praising, this eulogy, this commendation, the root words, it comes from these root words. So think praise and saying good words, but it's from these root words, to be clear. You know, so a letter of recommendation that's very vague is not as effective as one that's very clear. Oh yeah, they're nice, they're wonderful, you know, that's really vague. Yeah, but what have they done? What's their accomplishment? How does that actually impact my choice to choose them? A letter of recommendation. It must be clear. So our praises and our eulogy and our saying good things about God should be clear. So he inhabits this clear praises. Clear praises. Right? Clear. To shine. We're shining the light on him. The spotlight is on him. He is the big deal, right? On the theater, the spotlight is where everyone's supposed to be focusing. We're shining the light on him because we want everyone to focus on him. We are focusing on him. Our praise is focusing on him. To shine, right? To shine. To make a show. We're making a show or boasting. Make a show or boasting. We don't need to make a show or a boast of ourselves. We're making a show and we're boasting on him. Making a show. That's what this is. Praise and this speaking and saying good words is to make a show and boast on him. How good and wonderful, how great he is, how awesome he is, how faithful and good. Amen. It's about him. making a show about him. It also means this, to be clamorously foolish. Clamorously foolish. You know, when people are so excited, we have friends of ours, and their oldest son, I think, is a couple months older than me. And but I heard that when he was born, the dad ran out in the street and was telling everyone, had a baby, got a baby, have a baby, got a boy, got a boy. Got clamorously foolish. Why? Because he is very excited. Got a boy. Got a baby. I'm a dad. You know, it's clamorously foolish because nobody does that, but he was overwhelmed and excited. Clamorously foolish. So sometimes we might act a little foolish, a little strange, a little overly excited. Why? Because we're excited. We're praising. It's this Tehillah praise about who he is. We're clamorously foolish about our God. It means to rave, and rave is just another word for party. Party, rave, party. And it's also the word celebrate. We're celebrating him. We're celebrating our God. Amen? To celebrate and to glory. We are glorifying him. We're bringing glory to him. We're glorifying him. That's the kind of praise that he inhabits. That's the kind of praise that creates a seat for him to sit and settle in. That's the kind of praise that he sits in, that he comes to, that he enjoys. Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. Oh, and I didn't set my timer. So I have no idea how we're doing here. Psalm 149, verse 1. Says this, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praises in the congregation of the saints. 33. Okay. Hallelujah. So, what do we see here? Sing a new song. Praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praises in the congregation of the saints. So, the word praises here, that word praises in the congregation, is once again is the word Tehillah. So, we sing praises in the congregation, in the service. Glory to God. We get to sing praises to God. We get to celebrate him, boast about him. But he uses this word, a new song. A new song. What is this word, new song? What does this word, new song? What does that mean? What does that look like? We're to sing a new song. The new song in the Hebrew, this word translated new song, can also be translated fresh. Fresh. Can be translated fresh, and it comes from the root to rebuild, to renew, and to repair. So there's this fresh song that we sing to him, and it causes something to happen. As we sing this new song, as we sing this fresh song, it rebuilds, it renews, and it repairs. Wow. A song, a new song, a fresh song can do that. Does that mean we have to come up with a fresh, a new song every day? No. So how do you keep a song new and fresh? How do you keep a song new and fresh? I use this example all the time. I tell my wife I love her. How do you keep that fresh, new and fresh every day? You know, it's not enough just to hold up a sign. Yeah, I love you. You know, I love you. You know, watching TV and not be distracted. No. The way you keep it fresh is we respond from our heart every time. We keep it coming from our heart. So you can get a song of praise that's new and fresh, but the way you keep it new and fresh is that you continue to sing it from your heart as if it was the first time, meaning it every time. So we don't have to come up with new songs every week. But we can sing them as if they're new, because we're singing them from our heart. We believe the words, we speak the words, we're excited about the words, we allow the words to get us involved, spirit, soul, and body. We can be emotionally involved, our heart and our spirits involved, because we're singing to Him and not just about Him. Amen. And our body can be involved. Whether we clap, whether we raise our hands, whether we dance, whether we bow our knees and even lay on the floor, however it looks, fresh and new. That's how we keep it fresh and new, responding from our heart every single time. Then it goes on. Verses, let's start in verse 5. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So I want us to camp on verse 6 for a moment. Let the high praises of God be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The high praises. The high praises. The word high means this. It means to rise, to exalt, to get oneself up, to lift up self, to mount up, and exaltation. So the high praises begins to affect us. Remember, we already read about in Samuel how David, he was having a bad day. Remember that when his city was, you know, burnt by fire and all the people's, all, you know, everyone's wives and kids and all their stuff was taken. And his men began to blame him and talked about, you know, they were talking treason and they were talking about killing him. And the Bible says David did something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. We found out that word encourage can also be translated strengthen. He strengthened himself in the Lord. We're talking about being unbreakable, strength under pressure. He needed strength. So how did he get strength? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, I mean, what does that look like? What does that look like? That's this right here. The high praises of God execute justice. The high praises of God. He began to lift up the high praises of God, and he began to what? He began to get himself up. He began to lift himself up. If we feel down, there is a way for us to lift ourselves up. If we feel down, there is a way to get ourselves up. If we feel down, there is a way to mount up. And if we feel like we've reached the plateau, but we want to go higher. There's got to be more, God. We might not feel down, but we might feel like, listen, there's got to be more. How can we move up higher? This is how we can move up higher. We can mount up. Exaltation. We can begin to lift up. We can begin to rise. The high praises of God. As we are giving praise to God, as we're honoring and celebrating and glorifying and praising Him, it's causing something to happen in us. So we're not praising ourselves, we're praising Him, but in our praising Him, He's causing us to mount up. He's causing us to lift ourselves up. We're doing something that is affecting us. We're doing something to Him and for Him that is affecting us. There is something that you can do to Him that will affect you. Positively. There's a bunch of stuff that we can do that can negatively affect us, but this is a way that we can positively affect ourselves. So we praise God. There is nothing negative about praising God. The results are always positive and good. We praise Him, God inhabits the praise. We build a seat for Him to come and show up and manifest in our lives with His power, His presence, His goodness. He causes us to begin to lift ourselves up. To begin to get ourselves up. Hallelujah. This will cause us to rise up above depression and heaviness. So this is my next point. Second point today is praise as a weapon. We talked about building him a habitation. God inhabits the praises of his people. Build him a habitation. But now, as we're going to do that, how do we do that? We do that with praise. Now let's talk about praise. Praise as a weapon. And we're seeing this here. We saw that, listen, the high praises of God, it's like a two-edged sword in our hand. Well, the scripture talks about praise is a two-edged sword in our hand, but what else does the scripture tell us is a two-edged sword? The word of God, right? The armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation and the word of God, which is two-edged sword, right? So the word of God is a two-edged sword, but we see right here, in Scripture, even our praise is a two-edged sword. Our praise is also a weapon. Our praise is to Him, but as we are praising Him, He's causing it to be a weapon working on our behalf. Amen? So, if we go to Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah 61, and I'm reading this out of the King James also. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Okay, so those that are mourning in Zion, apparently they're down. Okay, that's kind of this picture. They're down. We just found out there's a way to get up, but they're down. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. So they're not just stuck in the ashes, they're not just oppressed, they're not just down. But there is a way to get beauty for the ashes. There is a way, it is the oil of joy for mourning. So there is an oil or an anointing of joy for mourning, for being lamenting and grieving and being heavy. There is an anointing that'll bring us out, and it's called the anointing of joy. It's the oil of joy. And then it goes on to say, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And this word praise is also the Hebrew word tehillah again. The garment of praise, you know, the garment of praise. So if you're chilly, you put on a jacket. You put on a sweater, right? This is what there's a garment of praise. There's a garment of praise. We're not designed with it. We have to put it on. It's a garment. It's available to us. It can be hanging in our closet. We need to go get it, right? It's a garment of praise. It's not enough just to have it in the closet, right? You might feel chilly. Yeah, well, I got lots of jackets, but that doesn't make us warmer, right? Do you get warmer just because you have a jacket? I bought a real nice jacket. Well, you know, did it make any difference? Well, it only makes a difference when I put it on, right? So here we are. We have a garment of praise, and so in order for us to help, and in order for it to help us and to do us any good, we're going to have to put it on, right? We have to put it on. Say, put it on. Put it on. Amen. So, we have a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting. This word heaviness in the Hebrew can be translated this. It can be translated weak. Now, we are talking about strength under pressure. Heaviness is the opposite. Right? Heaviness. Weak. This word heaviness can also be translated weak. To grow dull, dim, feeble, to fail and to faint. That is the opposite of joy and rejoicing. Right? The word rejoice means to shine. It means to be bright, to brighten up. Right? It doesn't mean to fail. It means to get oneself up. And so there's the spirit of heaviness is taking us away from joy. And the farther we get away from joy and rejoicing, the weaker and the dimmer we get. But the more we begin to respond in joy and to rejoice, we get strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We begin to mount up, and we have strength, and we get bright, right? Cheerful people are bright. Cheerful people, you can see it. Heavy people are dim, and you can see it. It's a difference. There's a difference. They walk different. They talk different. So what do we do? Maybe we feel heavy. Maybe we feel weak. Maybe we're feeling feeble and we just feel like fainting, giving up. We're not stuck there. We say, this is where I find myself. The good news is we don't have to stay there. There is a way to mount up. There is a way to get oneself up. There's a way to encourage and strengthen ourselves in the Lord. There is a way to come out. There's a garment to put on. There is a special piece of clothing specifically designed to get us out. It's called the garment of praise. The garment of Tehillah. Amen. The garment of celebration. Shining the light on Him, glorifying Him, focusing on Him, rejoicing in Him. And it causes something to happen to us. We're rejoicing and celebrating and glorifying and praising and shining the light on Him and how good He is. We're praising and eulogizing. We're saying good things about Him. Where do these good things come from? We find out the good things from here. That's who He is, what He's done for us. And He causes something to happen. He causes heaviness to leave. Heaviness cannot hang around anymore. The more we think and meditate and talk about the heaviness and all the bad things, the more it hangs around and the thicker it can get. But if we begin to put on the garment of praise and focus on Him and praise Him and shine the light on Him and who He is and all His goodness, it causes the heaviness. It's got to leave. It's got to leave. Amen? Praise as a weapon. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Glory to God. So, Matthew chapter 21. Jesus actually quotes Psalm 8. So we're going to go to Matthew 21 and then we're going to go back to Psalm 8. We're going to read what Jesus, where He quoted from. So, Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. Matthew 21, 16. Says the religious leaders said this. I mean, the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the religious leaders were indignant. I mean, they were furious. And they said to Jesus in verse 16, they said, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said in verse 16, and they said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus says, yes, and have you never read? Yes, I hear what they're saying. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read, right? The Torah. Have you ever read the Scripture? And he quotes Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. You have perfected praise. Now Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2 says this. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. Jesus said praise. Psalmist David said strength. Well, that's the way it's translated because in the Hebrew, it actually also means praise. So Jesus just pulled out the word praise from this Hebrew word. Why? Because praise is strength. right? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in the Hebrew, the word strength here can be translated boldness, loudness, might, power and force, security, majesty, and praise. So that Hebrew word can be translated all this. And Jesus just pulled one of the words out when he began to quoted it to the religious leaders. He said, "Have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Praise. Praise. The rest of the verse goes on this. Chapter 8, verse 2 says, "You have ordained strength," or "you have ordained praise, because of thine enemies, that you might still the enemy and avenger." God has established praise to do what? Because of the enemy, that we might still the enemy and the avenger. So, again, we're talking about now, part two, we're talking about praise as a weapon. So we can put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We see here that God has perfected praise. Why? For the purpose of strength to still the enemy. So what does the word still mean? In the Hebrew, the word still means to cause, to make, to cease. To cause to cease or to make to cease. How can we make the enemy cease in our lives? Praise. God has established praise to still the enemy. To cause and to make to cease. To fail, to leave, to put down, and to take away. You say, "I got some things in my life that I want to cease. There's some stuff going on in my life that I want to fail. There's some attacks that from the enemy that I want to fail. There's some attacks from the enemy. I just wish that they would leave. I would like that. I'd like them to be taken away." How does that happen? Praise. Our praising God. While we're praising God, He's working on our behalf to cause and make the enemy to cease, to fail, to leave, and to cause things to be put down and to be taken away. Hallelujah. These are benefits to us. To still the enemy. But again, it's not all up to God. What's our part? Our part is to praise. So God can begin to work on our behalf to still the enemy in our life. Amen? He wants to, but He needs someone to work with. And He wants to work with you, and He wants to work with me, and so we need to praise God so He can do this on our behalf. Amen? To still the avenger. Now, what is the word avenger? The word avenger means to punish. So the enemy is wanting to punish us, but also God wants to punish our enemy. And that's also the word to take vengeance. Remember God said, "Vengeance is not yours and mine." God said, "Vengeance is His." Amen? So He wants to take vengeance on our enemy. He wants to punish our enemy. Why? Because He loves us, and He does not like what the enemy is doing to us. These things that He's trying to do in us, the situation and circumstances that we might find ourselves in that we don't like. And so, there is a way to still the enemy and the avenger. There's a way. God said, "Listen, you want me to fight on your behalf? Start to praise me so I can begin to move on your behalf." Psalm 9, verse 1. Don't have to go too far. From Psalm chapter 8 to now Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. "I will praise you." We'll read verses 1 to 4. "I will praise you." This word praise is yada, and it means hands extended. It means lifting our hands. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth your marvelous works." I'll show forth your marvelous works. "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to your name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sit in the throne judging right or righteously." So, we see here as we praise God, and there's a number of different praise words in here, the word praise, yada, praise, I will show forth, I will be glad, I will rejoice, I will sing praises, all because of this, praising God. Verse 3, he says, it will cause our enemies to turn back. The word turn back means this, to retreat, to cease, to draw back, reverse. How many are interested in having the devil just hit the brakes and just put it in reverse? He's moving forward, trying to move forward in our life, and all of a sudden he hits the brakes and puts it in reverse. It's time to back off. This is how we do it. This is how it happens. Right? He will turn back. He will retreat. He will cease. He will draw back. He will reverse. He will cause to turn away, cause to back off and withdraw. Back off and withdraw. Back off and withdraw. Our praises make the enemy turn back. Our praises make the enemy turn back. Now, our praises are not focused towards the enemy. Our praises are focused towards God. But as we're focusing and praising God, God's working on our behalf, causing the enemy to turn back, put it in reverse, to cease, to literally back off and withdraw. Back off and withdraw. And then it goes on to say, not only will do that, to turn back, but he says, they shall fall. The word fall can mean stumble, cast down, faint, ruin, overthrow, and weak. We can cause the works, the wiles, and the strategies of the enemy to faint, to be overthrown. We can cause the devil and his attackers in our life, the enemy, to stumble, to trip. You know, they're moving forward and all of a sudden, poof, they trip and fall on their face. Ha, 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 ha. Amen. We laugh at the devil. The Bible says God laughs at the devil. He just trips and falls. Just laugh. Hallelujah. Right? All because of praise. We're praising our God. And then it says they will turn back, they will fall and perish at thy presence. They will perish. The word perish means to wander away. It means to break, to destroy, not to escape, to lose, to faint, and to be undone. So we can cause the works, the wiles, the strategies of the enemy, the attack in our life, to be undone. We can cause it to be destroyed and to where he faints and he loses. So when I talk about the Lord has sent us here to help us find life, enjoy life, and win in life, we want to win. In order for us to win, someone's got to lose. We want the devil to lose. Amen? He's a loser. Jesus already whipped him. But if we allow the devil to win in our life, even though he's a loser, it's only because we have not taken our place of authority in Christ Jesus. We've not taken our place and exercised our authority. We have not, in this case, we're talking about praise. We haven't invested the time and enjoyed the time of praising God. Because if we enjoy the time praising God, he will cause the enemy to retreat, to cease, to faint, to stumble, to be overthrown, to wander away, to be destroyed, and to be undone. Amen? It's called winning in life. We win, let the devil lose. Let the devil stay frustrated. We can rejoice and just keep moving forward. Amen? So, and then verse 4 says that he maintains our right, and that means that he is setting things right, putting things right. The word right or righteous means setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. And also the word righteousness, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, include the word prosperity. Righteousness and prosperity cannot be separated. And so he's going to set things right, put things right, make things right and prosperous. So there's going to be increase. A prosperous body is a healthy body. Amen? A prosperous mind is a sound mind. Not worried. A prosperous finances is increase. Amen? Prosperity in every area of life. Because he maintains our right. He's defending us. He's protecting us. Because in the kingdom of God, we have, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we have legal rights. As children of the family of God, we have an inheritance. Isn't that good news? So, just in closing, we're not going to read these, but I'm going to remind us of them because we've talked about them before. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail. Right? They were in the lower part of the jail. And instead of whining and complaining, what did they do? The Bible says at midnight, they prayed, but they didn't just pray. The Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and God shook the place and set everyone free. Right? Praise. I mean, so we're seeing what we just talked about, praise as a weapon. As they began to praise God, God showed up, manifested his glory, his power, his presence, goodness, shook the whole jail, and everyone went free. Everyone went free. But not only that, revival just broke out because nobody left. And Paul went up, and the warden, him and his family all got saved and baptized. And probably the rest of the prisoners, same thing happened. Ha-ha. Glory to God. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Remember Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat. Three armies were coming against Israel. They prayed. Then they began to go out. The Lord said, you're not going to have to fight today. You just go out, stand still, and watch the salvation of the Lord. So they went out, and they made the choice. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to put the praisers in front of the army. We're going to put the praisers, and we're going to sing, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And as they began to praise God, God fought on their behalf. As they praised God, see, they celebrated him. They were shining the light on him. For the Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And as they were praising him and celebrating him and shining the light on him, he began to move on their behalf, to cause the enemy to retreat, to cease, to draw back, to stumble, to faint, to be overthrown, to wander away, to be destroyed, and to be undone. The whole plan and strategy of the enemy failed as they praised God. So a couple examples right there, just we didn't get time to get into it, but you know the story, you understand it, and that's the gist of it. They praised God, God moved on their behalf. Amen? So it's time to seek praise and worship him. It's time to seek praise and worship God. It's time to seek praise and worship him and to build him a habitation. Amen? To build him a habitation. Why? So that we can be unbreakable and enjoy strength under pressure. I'll read that one more time. It's time to seek to praise and to worship him and to build him a habitation. Remember, that's how we started today. Praise, building him a habitation. Why? So that we can be unbreakable and enjoy strength under pressure. And that's what we've been talking about, having strength under pressure. We need strength. We need strength. It's not enough just to pray for strength. We must do something to get the strength that is already available to us. And we find out that this is that key thing about strength, is that we praise and rejoice in him. We praise and rejoice in him. Why? So that we can be unbreakable and have strength under pressure. Amen? Glory to God.